Blog Talk Radio.
MethLab Radio. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I'm one half of your host, Frankie Metro. And, of course, with me, as always, Chief Operator and main man in the tutu, Mr. Nuwamba Flamingo. What's up, bro?
What's up, dude? Sean, how are you?
Good, man. Good. A little hot, dude. It's fucking hot as shit in the desert this summer, bro. It's hot as a motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking hot out here, too.
Oh, word.
Yeah, it's humid. Humid, but it's not really too hot. I mean, it's only about, like, 90 degrees with the heat index, so it's not too bad for me, being a Floridian.
Yeah, you are a native Floridian, so I'm sure that you're used to that. For those people out there that want to stay cool and are not native Floridians, I suggest you go to the Meth Lab at www.methlab1234.blogspot.com, and it gives you that sort of sense of, like, I don't know, it's sort of like being a head of crisp lettuce, you know? It just gives you that cool, refreshing feeling all over, and I think people should experience that a little bit more. I don't know.
I agree. I definitely think people should experience that more.
Well, I think that's why we're here tonight, actually, is to give them a little piece of lettuce, I guess. Throw out a little lettuce, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's give them some lettuce, and let's give them some fucking cabbage, some tomatoes. Let's make a whole salad for these motherfuckers.
All right. And you're tossing it, not me. I'm not tossing.
Well, I'll be glad to do that.
Yeah, okay.
I like to toss salad. I like to toss salad. Have you ever had your salad tossed? But I'm just asking. Have you ever had your salad tossed? Has anybody ever eaten out your butt?
You know what? No. I had to think about that for a minute there, to be honest with you. I had to think.
You had to take a hat. You couldn't remember. You had to, like,
I couldn't remember.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
There was, like,
I've actually had that.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you were saying.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I've had it twice, actually. And the most recently, it was in Tibet.
Oh, wow.
Very interesting. And both times, it was completely unexpected. I guess that's an unexpected thing. I mean, who really says to the other person, you know what, right now I'm just going to eat your butt.
Yeah.
And start doing it. I don't know. Maybe there are people like that, but both times I've had it, it was very unexpected. It was a complete surprise, you know.
And there's no communication about it. There's usually not communication about it, at least from what I understand. It just happens. And you either feel dirtier for it or you feel cleaner afterwards.
Yeah. Well, you know, I felt kind of dirty just receiving it.
Yeah?
It made me feel kind of dirty just receiving it. Although I guess it should make you feel cleaner, like, when you think about it, because your butt is cleaner afterwards, right? Because it's been licked out.
True. This is true. I'm actually going to put that question out there to the audience. Do you think eating the salad, does that make you feel cleaner, or does that make you feel dirtier? We'd like to know. Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808, if you want to chime in on that nugget of knowledge.
Yeah, I bet nobody is. I don't think anybody's going to answer that question. Not a single person is going to answer that question.
Yeah, we ask the tough questions here at the Meth Lab. You know, we ask the tough ones.
That's right.
Well, speaking of Meth Lab, do you happen to have a little bit of the blue stuff there, sir? Need a little of the blue stuff. got some of that.
A little of the blue. Well, you know what? I have a piece that was inspired by something you wrote a while ago. And I can't remember the title of it, but it was very disturbing. And it contained some subject matter that kind of stuck with me. And I was just kind of working on something recently, had a couple ideas, and so it inspired this piece. I'm going to read it. And it's called Mr. Whiskers. And here it goes. He hated that cat, Mr. Whiskers, the furry little piece of shit, Mom's favorite. After school, before she'd get home, he'd watch his cartoons and then go have some fun and hunt down the good-for-nothing, flea-ridden fuck. His mom never could figure out why Mr. Whiskers would run in terror at the mere sight of him. But little did she know how much she enjoyed chasing it, backing the animal into corners, mocking its cries, and lashing it with his belt or electrical cords. Sometimes he'd catch it by its tail and stuff the creature into a burlap sack and slap and punch the sack and laugh at the cat's hysterical hissing fits. Mostly he beat the cat, but a couple times, after checking out his dad's hidden stash of Hustler magazines, he tried to fuck the animal, lifting its tail and attempting anal penetration, although he never could fit it in. So he'd just close his eyes and rub his hairless penis around on Mr. Whiskers' asshole. There were occasions when Mr. Whiskers got the better of him. It'd escape his grasp and leave him with bloody scratch marks along his hands or arms, but overall, he usually was the winner of their constant battles. Probably his favorite thing to do was snatch up Mr. Whiskers and throw it down a flight of stairs. How the animal always landed on its feet. How its claws sounded on the hardwood floor as it'd scamper away afterward, so fast. One balmy afternoon, however, he took it too far. Following an ambush of the cat as it slept on his parents' bed, he stuffed it into his sack and zipped it shut. Perhaps his subsequent onslaught of slaps and punches was too much, because Mr. Whiskers stopped hissing and moving around. Alarmed, he unzipped and opened the sack and saw syrupy blood dribbling from Mr. Whiskers' nostrils. Its front legs were all mangled, hanging limp and out of socket. The cat was unconscious. It didn't seem to be breathing. He poked the cat, but it didn't move. He started panicking, envisioning how pissed off his mom would be. Worse even, would be having to deal with his dad. So he again zipped the sack closed, put it in his backpack, and went down to the wooded section in the back of his gated community where there was a small lake. Standing at the edge of the lake, he took out the sack and was about to give it the old heave-ho. But right before he could, the sack came back to life, shocking the hell out of him. Mr. Whiskers wasn't dead after all. It cried and hissed like he'd never heard before. The cat mustered all its might and kicked with its hind legs at the bottom of the sack so hard that he had trouble holding on to it. He thought for a second of letting it go, but decided against that, knowing it would be too hard to explain to his parents. He struggled to gain control of the frantically moving sack, but was able to exert enough strength to steady it. Then he flung it as hard as he could into the murky brown water. Out of breath, he hunched over, hands on knees, and watched as the thrashing sack sank quickly into the water. The cat's cries and hisses turned to silence once the sack dipped below the water's surface. A short series of bubbles followed its submersion. When his mom asked him later that night where the cat was, he feigned ignorance and shrugged. "Must have run away," he said, staring out the window. 2 weeks of flyers and a sparsely attended search party with neighbors followed, but still no cat. So his mom reluctantly gave up and bought a cute new kitten, but never fawned over it the way she did with Mr. Whiskers. He didn't care much for the new kitten either, but rarely attacked it, instead spending most of his free time after school playing Call of Duty and shooting at squirrels with his air gun. 2 months passed, and he'd forgotten all about Mr. Whiskers, until one evening, after dinner, when the gated community's groundskeeper appeared at the front door, holding a large black bag. His mom eyed the bag warily and then looked over at him. He dropped his Wii controller to the floor, rose to his feet, and stepped away from the TV. His dad got up from the Lazy Boy nearby and gulped down a prolonged swig of beer. The groundskeeper stared and nodded at him with a blank expression, but didn't say a word. His mom reached into the bag and pulled out a partially deflated football that looked a lot like the one he'd lost last summer. On the side of the football was his name in capital letters, scribbled in permanent marker. His mom chuckled and handed the football off to his dad. His dad just sighed and then threw the football to him with a bit too much pop, and it stung as it landed in his arms. And that's the end of that.
Oh, man. Oh. You know, I'm glad that I could always inspire such profound depictions of cruelty to animals and what have you. That dude, holy shit, like, that was really good. Was that actually part of that whole Sick Lectura thing we put up on the Meth Lab? Is that where you got the inspiration from?
Yeah, that was exactly where I got that from. You had some pretty graphic descriptions yourself of animal cruelty and children's animal cruelty. And what I was trying to, you know, do with there is look at maybe the correlations between neglect, abuse, violent movies, cartoons, video games, and pornography, and maybe, like, you know, the correlations between that and then abuse of animals and people. So I was trying to explore kind of that angle.
I like the football part at the end there. That was a nice touch. Very nice touch, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, ooh. I was kind of thinking of some kind of a change up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And some metaphor, some allegory, not ditch.
It's goddamn. I don't know what to say to that, man.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'll appear somewhere, but, you know, given the content. Given the content matter, it probably won't. But hopefully it'll at least get a reaction. Because there's a certain motherfucker out there I sent this to. And every fucking time I send this motherfucker something, all I get back is form rejection letters from this guy. I hope that this at least gets a reaction from me. If not, I have one that I'm thinking of right now that I have not put to paper. It's even more fucked up than this. So it's
even more.
I don't want to call him out. Yeah, it's even more fucked up than this. So if I don't get a reaction from him, I don't want to call him out on air. But you know what? You know what? If this does not get a reaction from him, I will call him out on air, because, you know, you gotta just, like, if he doesn't want it, I don't care, man, it's fine. I want a fucking reaction out of this motherfucker, so I'm hoping that this at least gets some fucking reaction. You want to push those buttons, man, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's what literature should do, right? It should push a button, man. It should get a motherfucker to say something, you know? Even if it's like, fuck you, man, I hate that, it's the worst shit I ever heard. At least if you get that, you at least get some kind of fucking reaction out of a person, you know? So.
Right.
Hopefully.
I was going to say that's a perfect way to describe it, sir. At least he pushed a button.
Yeah. Hopefully he has a cat.
An animal lover. Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe
an
ASPCA member, maybe?
Or PETA. PETA. What I might do with this. So I might send it.
Wait
to
a minute.
PETA.
Which one is the ASPCA? Isn't that like animals or something?
It's not the animal protection something or other. I don't know. But don't get me wrong though. I do not like in any way condone cruelty to animals. And this is not like a piece like, you know, in any way like, you know, extolling the virtues of fucking beating a cat. Because I love animals myself. I'm an animal lover. I love cats.
Yeah.
I love birds. I love dogs. You know, so I would never condone that shit. But, you know, it would be facetious of us to say that, like, there's no relationship between abuse and you know, and neglect and animal cruelty, and that's what I was looking into here, man. It was like it's an investigation of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I looked at it.
No, I agree, sir. I agree. We do want to say a big shout out to God is Great. Hello, God is Great. How you doing? Welcome. And also want to say you mad because you bad, bro. I see you on the switchboard there, and we'll bring you in here momentarily. The switchboard, or actually the chat room, just lit up, man. There's like a shitload of people in here all of a sudden. Whoa.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow, we got a lot of people. Yeah, I do. I'm going to bust into this. This is from my new chat book from Crisis Chronicles Press. This is from the Anarchist Black Book of Poetry. And this particular one is called Streets of the Panamericano Nightmare, number 2, Lower East Side to 102nd. A meeting somewhere in the bowels of the Lower East Side, there's a room of self-absorbed tools playing circuit jerk and reminiscing when it was just good fun and not a burden. They're calling each other addicts, and when they disperse, some gather small armies, some become soldiers themselves in a gang of unmitigated circumstance, some are falling by the wayside, some are circumvent, some are cum receptacles, and some don't even know they're alive anymore. An electric snow bunny has just boosted for the final time and never rolled over, even during the pivotal moment of survival. She is no longer plugged in. The freaks are counting votes. The totals are in. 54% to 46% have passed a new law banning further introspection into the form of loosely based faith. This means that one out of every three cabrones will contract the New Age illness and attempt to seize control over themselves through means of a sadistic fashion. The last nuclear bomb is brushing its teeth in a convenience store bathroom on 102nd, spitting blood into the sink and ecstatic about the first conception of the Overman. There's a ceremony in Manhattan where this will occur. A project of such immensity is meant to be witnessed by the world. A debate is heard over the radio speaker outside the market addressing racial ethics. The dynamic of narcissism is introduced into the discussion. Statistics are clapping pigeons to warn the neighborhood. Watch programs are instituted. Gringos are scrutinized heavily for speaking Ebonics when they really should be speaking Spanish in this neck of the woods. A renewed interest in science is shaving itself in a dark alley of sickle cell research and washing its face with the whole ordeal. The tools are learning it to loot and looting to learn the facilities in search of edited history books, burning piles of creation theory in the middle of classrooms, making a fanatic spectacle of understanding with ripped pages and theological insight. And that's it.
God damn, dude, that's fucking good. That's fucking good, man. You know what? I think Henry Miller's ghost is possessing you.
I think so?
I think that Henry, I've felt Henry Miller's presence in that. Like, I really did, man. I really felt a Henry Miller vibe in that. And, you know, what I really like about, like, the writing style, I felt was very Henry Miller. Like, that kind of, like a stream of consciousness flow, a very like random and chaotic, but also having a set purpose and having a message. I felt that in there. But I also really like a lot of the content, like what you're saying about like modern society, the commentary that's making, and just the vapidity, you know, of modern society and how fucking stupid everybody, you know, is, and just like how fucking empty it is. That's a real kind of, you know, something I got from that. I also like the line about the gringos, man, you know, talking in Ebonics when they should be speaking in Spanish in that part of the world.
Yeah.
That was a nice touch.
That's Florida,
the
man.
Nuclear bomb.
I wrote that in Florida. We were talking about that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wrote that in Florida, man.
Yeah.
Dude,
I remember that.
We got a shitload of people in here. Like, I just have to say this. Like, I can't even see how many people are in the chat room right now. It's that big. And,
Fuck, holy crap.
Everybody, feel free to call in. Yeah, we got a couple people, actually.
Yeah, call us, motherfuckers. Don't be a lurker.
805-856-2808. Call in. Open mic. If you got something to share it. Bring it on. I'm going to bring in You
it's
Mad Because You Bad, bro. I'm going to bring this dude in.
You Mad. All right, let's bring him in.
Yeah, let's bring this dude in. Hello, You Mad Because You Bad, bro.
Yo, dude.
Hey, what's up?
Are you rustling my jimmies?
Okay, what?
What? Your penis? Do we want to see your penis?
No.
I don't know.
Are you rustling my jimmies?
Are we
rustling your jimmies?
Yeah.
A gymnast? I don't know what a gymnast is. What is a gymnast?
That's you, man.
A gymnast.
No, a gymnast.
A gymnast.
A gymnast.
A
gymnast.
A gymnast.
Yeah, gymnast.
I don't know what a gymnast is, man.
What is a gymnast? Can you define a gymnast?
Gymnast. Yeah, please.
Gymnast. Are you rustling my gymnast?
Am I rustling your gymnast? Nah, dude. I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
How do you rustle somebody's gymnast exactly?
Rustling.
Yeah, what is that?
Rustling.
Yeah, how you rustle?
Yeah.
I'm asking you if you are.
No, you're the one that knows what rustling is.
That's what it is, man.
I'm sorry, man. I can't explain, dude.
Fuck off. All right. This guy sucks. Anyway, moving on.
Tell us,
we're
gonna
go to. That guy sucked.
I don't know. I don't know, dude. I'm curious though. I'm curious to know about what the fuck that is. If he does know,
he wouldn't explain it.
I want to fucking.
We got other people. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that shit. Yeah, if you can't explain what you're talking about, don't fucking bother calling.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you got,
I ain't got
else?
Time for that shit. Yeah, we do. We got two more people actually. 706. I think this might be, this couldn't be Christian Alvarez. I don't know. I don't think it is. This is Christian Alvarez.
Nah, this isn't Christian Alvarez, dude.
Oh, okay. What's up?
Yeah.
Who we got here?
I noticed you guys were reciting some poetry earlier. I was just wondering if I could recite some.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Is that cool?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Please.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff I wrote, I wrote it a long time ago. It's straight from the heart.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you guys? I'm sure you guys are up on the Trayvon Martin case and all that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure are.
Yeah. This.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me go ahead and stop you. Right. Before you go any further. All right. Go for it. Go ahead. Fuck it. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Fuck it. Go ahead.
All right. Now, this is the story all about how my ass got clipped, put underground, and I'd like to take a minute to sit right back.
Yeah. Fuck you. Fuck you.
All right.
Fuck
all
you,
right.
Motherfucker. You suck.
Yeah, I saw a prank call coming there.
Yeah. But you know what?
Prank
it wasn't
call.
Even a good prank call. But it wasn't a good one. That's the thing. That's
you
the thing.
You should have just
if
went ahead and jumped right into
call,
it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do a good prank call, man, because, I mean, we welcome prank calls, so we like that.
We like prank calls.
We've even prank called people from the show. We like that, but if you come up with some bullshit, and you know what? He was going to go into some fucking racist bullshit, too. I felt some
racist bullshit coming on there myself. That's why I stopped
you know what?
And, I was like, eh.
Yeah. Nah, man, to be honest, man, there's some shit that's funny and there's some shit that's not funny. I mean, that's a kid who got fucking shot, and you know he shouldn't.
We don't make fun of shooting kids on here. Like, we might joke around a lot, but we don't make fun of shooting kids. We don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, the dude's dead, man. You know, so like anybody out there who wants to fucking laugh and snicker about that shit, fuck you. Like for real, fuck you. Like if you think that's fucking funny, fuck you. That motherfucker's dead, man. He can't come back from that shit. That shit's not fun. You know, we got a fucking problem with this in this society, man. It's a bunch of fucking sociopaths out there. Because you know what they do is they sit around on the fucking internet, on YouTube and Facebook, fucking jerking off and, like, making fun of, you know, motherfuckers and laughing about shit. I don't think they realize, like, you know, what they're really saying. You know, if there was, like, somebody from their family who got killed or their friend, I think they'd be acting differently about it. Or if, say, they saw somebody right in front of them get shot, I think they'd act differently about it, but they don't. Because all they do is they sit in their fucking, you know, house, in their parents' house probably, in their fucking basement or whatever, fucking around on YouTube, flaming people, talking stupid bullshit. You all are some pathetic motherfuckers. Seriously, why don't you get the fuck out of your house? Why don't you go fucking read a book or something? Why don't you learn how to fucking put a sentence together, for real? Like, get the fuck out of your house. Stop being a fucking douchebag.
Out of your... cut the uhs out of your vernacular. We're gonna go with 413, which I'm hoping 413. If you are a prank caller, I'm hoping that you got some better pranks than that. So 413,
yeah.
You're live.
How's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
You fucking shit! You fucking dick! You fucking shit! Fuck you!
Fuck my ass! What else?
That's a good one. Yeah.
It's fuck you
cocker.
Too, man. Yep,
yeah,
fuck you. Fuck you too, you fucking whacker. You fucking bitch.
Give it to me.
That was a good one. Hey,
I love
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
You know, you're
can
doing
get
the. It's the soundboard. It's probably got some shit programmed to a soundboard.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent stuff there. So who do we got here? 413.
Oh, are they still on?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're still here.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
I'd like
hey,
to say what's up to... the nipples in the chat room, as well as Zygote and my coffee, and God is great, 123. All that good stuff.
So like, I would love to actually talk to this person and see why.
Yeah, I don't think
fucking,
they.
Yeah. Like, why are you such a loser that you can't talk? Yeah.
Jimmy says, Russell, come on, man. Like, what do you got to say? What's up? Who do we got here on 413, man? What do you got? What else do you have?
Fucker, you fucking bitch! You don't give a shit!
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it? Oh, come on. With the soundboard?
Come on.
Come on. Talk.
Are you R2D?
Get on top, honey. Get on top, honey.
Oh, you know what? Maybe he's like handicapped or something and he can't talk. Maybe he's like one of those people like handicapped or something. He can't talk and just... has some kind of soundboard. Like, you know those people with, like, the quadriplegic or something, and but they can't talk either? They have, like, a little soundboard that they used to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's, like, one of those. Well, maybe we should
we're
going to
go
them.
Back.
Yeah,
we're going to go off of that. Now, you mad because you bad, bro, would like to come back because he's demanding, actually, in the chat room that we let him talk.
Yeah
he's demanding
let's
actually.
Okay, let's see.
All right. You mad because you bad, bro. What's up? What you got?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay. We're moving on. And we're going to go ahead and move on from that.
That was very honest. I like his honesty, though. You asked him
yeah.
straight out, what do you have? He said nothing. And then, yeah,
nothing.
He moved right on. His fucking
moving
great.
On. Congratulations, you mad because you bad, bro. You just got meth lab moment of the night. Congratulations.
Yeah, that was fucking great. Yeah, that's hilarious.
There, Nuwamba, what do you got for us, bro?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Should we read another piece, or what should we do?
Yeah, we should do that. And while we're doing that, Brian Fugier can call in and jump in on this. Because Brian Fugier, you know that you want to.
I would love him at all, man. I've never actually talked to him. Like,
you never talked to Brian
and...
Fugier? Oh, shit.
I've talked to him through email, of course, and on Facebook, but I've never actually, like, talked to him, so I would like to talk to him.
All right. Brian Fugier, call in, man. 805-856.
I want to know why his name is Fugier instead of Fugit, because I thought his name was Fugit before. I thought that's how you would say it, and I think Fugit sounds a lot cooler.
I agree.
Fugit, like, fucking cool. I want to know why it's Fugier and not Fugit.
That's a good question. Brian Fugier, call in and answer that. Call in and answer
yeah,
that.
Yeah, please. I want to know. All right, well, I got one, man, and it's a really short piece because he kind of inspired me to write some, like, really short pieces, and I got one. And
okay.
I don't really know if it's finished, but I'm just going to read it. It's called Why I Don't Play Golf. When I was 10 and in summer camp, my friend Danny and I found an old golf club. We'd go out every evening after dinner to the field behind our cabin and tee off whatever we could. Tennis balls, baseballs, rocks, whatever. We didn't have any actual golf balls, but we didn't care. We just liked hitting stuff. One evening I swung at a tennis ball with all my might and launched it far into the reddish dust sky. Unfortunately, Danny was standing too close, and when I completed my swing, the golf club whipped around my shoulder and struck Danny in the forehead with a metallic-sounding clank. He immediately clasped his hands to his face and groaned loudly. Blood started pouring out from under his hands, in between his fingers, gushing all over. I'd never seen so much blood, but I didn't freak out. Maybe it was because I'd played so many violent video games and I'd seen so many horror movies. I don't know. However, I was concerned for my friend and ran over to a group of counselors nearby and alerted them to come quick. They at first waved me off, thinking it was just me being annoying, but one looked over and saw Danny's profuse hemorrhaging and they set at once upon him. I don't remember an ambulance coming or if he went to the hospital, but I do remember that I saw him later that night sitting outside the camp director's house with a large bandage on his head. I don't remember talking to him anymore after that, or if I said that I was sorry. But I do remember that we never played golf again. And to this day, I haven't played it since. And that's the end of that. And that is actually a true story.
Oh, man. So you haven't seen him since? You have not?
Nah. I have not. I don't remember. It was a long time ago, so I don't really remember, like, if we ever talked again or anything after that. But we definitely didn't play any more golf, and I have not played it since.
Sure. Yep. Oh, all right. Well, we got another caller, actually. We're going to give this one another try. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah. We're going to... I'm a little bit skeptical of our prank callers tonight. So 717, if you are a prank caller, I hope you got a good one. 717,
please.
You're live.
Yeah, no, I don't have a prank call. I don't have a prank call. Actually, I have a serious poem for you.
Oh, word.
Yeah.
We like those.
Sure.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
Fuck niggers.
Oh, fuck you. You fucking piece of shit. You fucking asshole. You motherfucker. Get the fuck off our lines, you fucking bastard. You piece of shit. Fuck you. Shit, anybody there? Fuck. Is the line gone dead? Hello, hello. I see that I am still on here, but I do not hear Frankie Metro. Frankie Metro, you there? Frankie Metro, hello. Fuck. Well, I'm still on this line, so I guess I'll just talk for a minute. Well, whoever that was, fuck you. And Frankie Metro, come back if you can. Where did you go, motherfucker? I am not in chat. Hold on a sec. Where am I? I think I am in chat.
Computer dropped the line.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry.
Back.
Shit.
I didn't know if I was sleeping.
No, it was cool.
I got dropped off the line.
I got dropped off the line there, so. So that guy, that was a good poem there, buddy. A lot of silence.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking silence. Come on, guys, like, for real, man. If you're going to come up with a prank, I mean, seriously, come up with a good one. Like, for real, you guys are making yourself look fucking retarded. And, shit.
Well, there are a lot of these motherfuckers, and they go on a lot of these poetry shows, and all they do is just come on and just yell a bunch of racist bullshit. That's all they do. I even back to the 10K days and, you know, fucking 3 years ago, I remember these assholes. They did the same thing. They just think it's funny, you know, to call up shows and, like, you know, fucking spew some bullshit. But you know what? Like, I would really like to know this would be interesting. Of course, they aren't like intellectually, you know, capable of doing this, I don't think. But I'd like to know, why do they think like that? Why do they do this? You know, what is it? Did they get beat up by some black kid or something when they were young? Did maybe like their girlfriends like left them for some black dude? I don't know. Is there some reason why? Maybe they just don't like black people. I don't know. Is there some reason why they're saying this? Or is it just that they say this shit just to like try to get a reaction?
You know? Probably just.
I want to know why.
Yeah. They might be from. Well, it's an interesting point there, and they might actually be from, you know, just like regions of the United States. Where they just don't come into contact with very many people besides, you know, their inbred family members. And that can be a stifling experience for a young boy or young girl or young transsexual. It can be a very stifling experience, you know?
Yeah, well, whatever. It's fucking stupid, you know? And they should, like, really come with some better shit.
Really? Definitely, please. You know what? One place they might come from is Phoenix, actually. And I've got a poem here about Phoenix that I'd like to read. This is from the Anarchist Black Book of Poetry by Crisis Chronicles Press. And this poem is called Phoenix. Phoenix is the black mesa where God is a one-armed chef sprinkling charred cinnamon over the mountains. Phoenix is the one-way shuttle to the heart of the devil, cold in the early hours of eternity. Phoenix is the owner of wimpy souls sweating their cries of commerce into buckets of conformity. Phoenix is the chipped wings of light rail birds, the albatross fossilized and desperately trying to mimic the bones of the longhorn. Phoenix is the shell of Mecca, promising new ambition for those willing to pay the toll. Phoenix is the last bell rung in the silence of the night, calling all saints and crooks home for service. The hole in the heel of my shoe, grasping onto the last thread of leather, gotta keep moving, the dry scab in my nose, never fully healing from the effect of the altitude, the change that swears never to occur, holding itself together like tumbleweeds in the wind. Phoenix is the destitute stripper revealing itself to be naked and used in small increments, waiting for ample tips with ample breasts and dancing to the same song as the day before. Phoenix is the slow, dry death, the wish to be reborn as a mythological sense of pride, cacti of cackle and drugged adolescents stumbling into an unappreciative future of finance and appointed stops along the way, the noose of Judas holding treachery and deceit by the neck and choking it slowly on high noon. Phoenix is the burning Americano spirit purchased at the smoke shop sitting near the hand-blown glass. Phoenix is the Mekong dynasty settling into neo-tradition with full-service salons and seafood, a common misunderstanding I cannot fathom, the spit glistening on the paved streets. Phoenix is the humped leg of a dead dogma buried in the holes of many religions. Yeah, there you go.
Apparently Phoenix fucking got under your skin a bit, I take it.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I sense some anger in that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of anger there. A little bit. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Kind of an angry piece from you. A little bit of a departure, man.
I actually wrote that, like, after flying back into Phoenix from, I can't remember, I think it was actually from here, from Albuquerque, but I wrote that, like, as soon as I got back off the shuttle bus or whatever there at the airport, and I'm sitting there and waiting for Panifesto to take a drug test. And I was waiting for that, waiting for the results of that, and decided to write that little thing. So it was a really hot fucking day, too, man. It was. Yeah. I would like to say that faggot, or faggot, as I'm assuming that you're trying to fucking enunciate there in the fucking chat room, has been booted. I booted your ass, bitch.
We had somebody calling themselves faggot or something?
Yeah, you know. I already know where that's going. You know what I'm saying? Already know where that's going. You gotta come up with something better than that. Why don't you call yourself Fago and just cut out the T, you know what I'm saying? Save yourself a little time and energy. Just call yourself Fago. Or faggot. You can just call yourself that if you want. I don't care. It's just I'm not going to listen to it. I just don't feel like it. I really don't. I just wish people would be a little bit more original, man. Come on. For real.
Yeah, dude. I mean, prank calls are fun, and, you know, I like that kind of stuff. It's just they got to be good.
You guys are not very good at this. They're not very good at this.
And they've been bad on lots of other shows, too. I mean, they do this shit on a lot of shows, and it's always really sad and pathetic. I mean, come on, dudes. Like, seriously, you know what they need to do? They need to check up on the Jerky Boys.
Oh,
Jerky
fuck yeah.
Boys are classic fucking prank callers. They need to go study up on that shit.
Yeah.
Study up on prank call.
Go educate yourself on some motherfucking Jerky Boys. That's some good shit. Right. Ron, I think there's, like, this guy named Ron Haggerty or some shit like that. I don't know what his name is. It's like this hillbilly that does, like, basically the same shit. Call people up and prank them and do put out, like, a shitload of tapes and whatnot. That's some funny shit, too. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that kind of shit. It's funny, you know? It's good.
Yeah. I see that Sigerson's in the chat room. Congratulations to Sigerson, newest nonfiction member at Red Fez Publications there, nonfiction editor. Congratulations and welcome to the team, sir. And you should call in, Sigerson. You should call in if you got the time, bro. Still waiting for Brian Fugier to call in and answer the question. I saw you answer it in chat room, but, you know, people can't hear you chat, bro. For real. Come on. Call in. I got...
Go ahead.
What were you going to say?
I was going to read his comment from there. He said that it is way cooler, but I had to sound sophisticated like a French New Wave filmmaker when I was in film school. Well, that's a good explanation for it. I can take that.
Oh, I can dig it. I got one here, actually. Since this is the Meth Lab, I'm going to read this one. This is it's also from the Anarchist Black Book of Poetry. This one's called On Drugs and the Surrealist. See. Tonight, somewhere in the surrealist black skull, we are making fuck buddies and nicotine patches from grammar we learned in another life. A disembodied experience once became both the temple and the skyscraper, but it's all leveled now. Whole ditches of rubble in the commercial streamlining process. Building loopholes leading to new highways, sporting Venus and furs with the gang, and off to the next bitter soiree. When ketamine was small-town fashion, it would literally take nanoseconds to leap into an existential coma and burn the rails faster than the trains of the CB1 receptor. Brethren, get by free. But there's horrible rumors circulating that these occurrences are limited to the mad and experimental. However, the surrealist knows it is as natural as nirvana, and it takes the ability to create and believe that the mechanics of the mind use tools of the trade, drugs and metaphysics, Socratic method and methadone, all hammers and wrenches, all working steadily to resurrect an idol or an ideal.
Yeah, man, I like the Socratic method. Fuck, dude. Tools of the brain, shit. You know, the drugs and, whoa. That was interesting, dude.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Some interesting shit.
We got any
callers, man? We got anybody still calling in? And just
they were all prank callers tonight, bro. All prank callers.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
I don't mind. I mean, it makes it interesting, you know?
Mixes it up a little bit.
You know, it was fun to curse them out, you know?
Yeah. And nice. You did excellent, too. I enjoyed your cursings and I like that shit. That's actually, you know what, I'll give you guys credit for that. You did provide a minimal amount of entertainment. We do actually have another caller.
Oh, yeah? Maybe it's one of these assholes again. Inspired them to call back.
This is a 937. Now, the last time I saw a 937 area code, I think it was maybe Brian Fugier, maybe James Crawford. I can't remember. 937, who are you? Who are you, 937?
I'm not a cracker.
There he is.
All right, goddammit. I got a question for you. I got a good question for you guys. I will pay you guys $50 a piece when I get out to Oakland if you can name three cars that start with P within the next 10 seconds. Ready? Go.
Prius, Peugeot, and
Palomino. Porsche. Porsche.
Guess what, guys? Cars don't start with P, man. They start with gas. You motherfucker. I remember that joke from when I was like 10 years old. I first heard it like on a radio station or some dumb shit like that. And people were actually calling in, like doing the same thing you guys were, like, you know, Pinto, Pontiac, and finally the guy just
I think I said Palomino, which I think is actually a horse.
Palomino.
Yeah. I think I said that.
Yeah, I've been enjoying the hell out of the show, man. This has been really, really fun. I'm sitting here trying to edit some shit and sitting here laughing and giggling, listening to, you know, all the bullshit callers and everything, and just
They were fun. They were a fun bunch.
Yeah, it makes for a fun show. I agree, man. You know, that's the kind of stuff I dig. I'm just, you know, full of shit like that, and then hearing all the motherfuckers and stuff, you know, and all the good, healthy language. I like it. It's my style.
Yeah.
I like that.
We like to drop F-bombs quite frequently here at the Meth Lab. We like
I've been,
that.
I've been
and
enjoying
we like
the poetry,
it.
Too. Poetry's been pretty good, pretty solid tonight, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
But
I think that's...
I appreciate that.
Speaking of which, why don't you... Do you have some poetry there, Mr. Brown?
Oh, I've always got something, Mr. Metro.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this one, this one's called Peristalsis in the Bowels of Downtown. All right. All up and down Fifth Street, there are peep shows, coffee shops, liquor stores, and fresh tattoos that glow on the pale February bleached flesh of girls. And all the skinny caramel lattes are clutched too tight, even though they are hotter than the August pavement. And everywhere you go, along East 3rd Street, the cell phones are screaming to be released from all the pockets, purses, and glove compartment coffins. While a roving pack of mimes stalk the corner of 4th and Main, peddling thespian nightmares in a symphony of silence so loud it sounds like propaganda, and all the yellow slowly leaks from the sun as I sit in the cafe across the street, murdering myself one cigarette at a time. End poem.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
That's from the
like
heart.
I like the mimes, man.
Yeah, fucking
shit,
yeah,
man.
If
you can,
there's
mimes
all over Dayton, Ohio, dude.
Really?
Yeah,
holy
you
shit,
look at my profile picture.
I'm
hanging out with mime and some tall hot blonde.
Oh,
wow. On Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah,
is
the mimes
mime?
In Dayton are dangerous.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, do they rob you? Do they rob you or beat you up or try to fuck you or something?
They do all kinds of evil shit, man. And they walk behind you and like, mock you and all that.
What would they do if you punch one? If you punch one, would they say anything? I mean, like, if you punch one, like, what would they do?
It's like they have this invisible force field. I've tried to punch them. It's like I hit the air, and it's like they get this, like, invisible blood. And there's, like, invisible, like, silent scream, man. It's weird.
Oh, shit.
Fucked up, yeah.
Damn.
Dayton's highly infested with mimes, almost worse than the rats. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I hope you guys don't have that shit in Oakland.
Yeah. We might.
They might follow you there. They might follow you there. Like,
dude,
show up to them, they'll be like a fucking gang of mimes, like, following you. You can watch out for that shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Oakland, Mr. Brian Fugé, I'm looking forward to your performance. Can you let all of our listeners know out there a little bit about some of the events going on? Specifically,
oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
It's like a – well, first of all, before I even – I'm leaving tomorrow night. I'm taking a train. So I'm going to be on a train for like 2.5 days, so that's going to be exciting and, you know, an adventure in itself going cross-country from Ohio to Oakland. But, yeah, man, wow. It's like an entire week of, like – getting drunk and reading poetry and poetry events, man. It's going to be crazy. I mean, I think there's one on the July 3rd in Berkeley called The Bread or something like that. I'm not sure about that one. I know. And then July 5th, there's the Toxic Abatement hosted by Paul Corman Roberts and Lynn Alexander. That should be pretty interesting. There's a pretty solid lineup for that. then, of course, I know Paul Corman Roberts is hosting a barbecue and some poetry reading at his house on the 4th. And then I know there's a barbecue on the 6th there at your place there. And I'm reading
at
after
Razor's
that.
House. Yeah, it's going to be at Razor's house.
So, and shoot, what else? And then, of course, the 7th is the Beast Crawl in Oakland. I mean, that's going to be just, that's going to be off the charts. I mean, that's, you know, poetry all day, going from one pub or restaurant to the next. And then, of course, the big Zygote Mazzez finale on July 8th, Sunday. I mean, that's going to be, Biggie, too. We got a pretty solid lineup for that. So I'm pretty excited, man. I'm stoked. I've been so busy getting prepped for this thing, for this trip. So I'm, like, all hyped up, and I'm ready to go.
Fucking A, man. I will, I'll see you there, and hopefully we'll see some of you guys out there as well. Be sure to come by and check that out. As you mentioned, next week, all week long, Bay Area, Beast Crawl, Bread Workshops, we got barbecues, we got poetry, we got beer, we got razors, we got everything, man. It's all...
I agree, and you know, the best thing, I think, is the camaraderie, you know, and hanging out with everybody, and, you know, the after parties and all. I mean, yeah, it's fun reading the poetry and sharing your work and all that, but it's fun just actually connecting with people live, you know, that you work with all the time online or whatever, through publications. And, yeah, so it's always a good time when the crew gets together, when all of us gather. So.
Amen. Amen to that. We do want to say that we've got 8 minutes left of live streaming. Of course, if you guys want to call in, number is 805-856-2808. Uwamba, since we got Mr. Brian Fuge on the line, did you happen to have another piece that you wanted to read?
Yeah, man. You know, I've been really inspired by Mitt Romney recently.
Mm-hmm.
I really have. He's really inspired me. Right, I really feel this vibe from him. So I actually have something I wrote just the other day. It's called Mitt Romney's Phone Number. And I think I'll read it. Ever since he bought that iPhone, it had been ringing day and night. But every time he answered, there'd be dead silence on the other end of the line. And every call came from a private number, so he couldn't phone back. What was going on? Who was calling? Was his phone broken? He just couldn't figure it out. It was driving him crazy, though, the constant calls. Finally, he got fed up and angrily dialed customer service to complain. However, when he called customer service, the only thing he got was a constant maze of menu options. Press 1 for this or that. Not a single human being would actually answer. He tried several different customer service numbers, and they all netted the same result. Except for one, which got through to someone speaking an oriental-sounding language he couldn't understand. Aggravated, he gave up and stormed over to the Apple Store. On his way there, he passed by an electronics shop with a large display of plasma screens in the front window. The televisions were tuned to Fox News. Looped footage of Mitt Romney smiling and laughing gregariously showed on every screen. When he entered the Apple Store, the salespeople glared at him suspiciously. He slammed his phone down on the checkout counter and demanded a refund, declaring that it was defective. The salesman behind the register, a chubby fellow with bad acne, shot him a quizzical expression and remained silent for a minute, then asked cautiously, "What phone?" "This phone," he screamed back, pointing down at the counter. He fished out his receipt and stuck it right in the salesman's face. "Sir," the salesman stuttered, "that's a campaign flyer." He drew back the paper, and what he saw was clearly a credit card receipt. Again, the phone started ringing, again from a private number. "You see, this is why," he began to shout when he felt a tap on the shoulder. Two burly security guards stood in back of him. They were about to say something, but he shook his head dejectedly, scooped his phone up, and walked briskly out of the store. Stepping into the street, a man dressed as a big foam cell phone danced by and imitated a ringing sound. On the foam cell phone man's chest read, in red spray paint, "Private number." The foam cell phone man stopped and started to point and laugh and do the Dougie. Enraged, he cursed and screamed and went after the foam cell phone man, chasing him up the street. The phone cell phone man ran like hell and ducked into the electronics store he'd passed by earlier. He followed the phone cell phone man into the shop. Inside were televisions and computers everywhere, all tuned to Fox News, which was still showing the same looped footage of Mitt Romney laughing. He peered around but couldn't see the phone cell phone man anywhere. His phone vibrated and rang. It was once again from a private number. He answered. This time, though, there was a sound on the other end of the line. It was a hysterical, cackling laughter that increased in volume by the second, so much so that it quickly became unbearable. He was about to press the end call button but froze when he noticed that all the plasma screens and computers had suddenly switched to a live video feed of him standing in the electronics shop, dressed as a big phone cell phone. He was holding an empty hand up to his ear. And that is the end of that piece.
Okay. You know, you were talking earlier about being possessed by a famous people's ghost. I think Rod Serling has something to do with you right now. And Brian Fugere, being the cackle jackal that you are,
yeah.
What did you think, sir?
I liked it, man. I liked it a lot. I've always been a fan of Nwamba's work. I remember years ago when he first started submitting stuff to Zygote My Coffee, and it was just so offbeat and everything. It made the perfect fit for Zygote My Coffee. So it's actually one of the things I'm doing here tonight, trying to finish up a whole bunch of submissions I've received here in the last month or so, trying to get caught up here tonight. And I had to, of course, I had to tune into the show. So, you know, I got a little distracted by you guys cracking me up, so I had to call in.
Yeah, we appreciate that, sir. Appreciate you hanging out with us for a little bit. And
yeah, definitely, man. And I appreciate the props, Brian. And, like, I really dig what you're doing over there. I think Zygote is just a really fucking cool mag. I'm really glad you came back with it. You know, and, you know, just it's like one of the few places that's just fucking interesting. And you never really know what you're going to get there. So, you know, it's definitely a magazine I really enjoy reading. And I'm really
Thanks.
Glad that
yeah.
you're back doing shit again.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, it's been around since 2003, and had a slight hiatus there for a while because for personal reasons. But it's like this horrible addiction. I just can't, you know, I can't stop. So here I am, still doing it, and getting ready to take a train to Oakland and take part in all this crazy stuff. And, you know, I don't know. I get a personal high from it. I don't know what it's like for you, Frankie. I know you know, when you work on the meth lab and all that stuff, I mean, and write your poetry, and I don't know.
It's it's a life force, bro. That's pretty much what it is.
Right. I think Michelle McDaniel...
Actually, it says here... Brian, since you're on the... on the line, I see in the chat room we've got a gentleman by the handle of Jewish Producer, who says, I had an article rejected from that fucking site years ago. I'm back for revenge.
It's probably true. I get a lot of shit, you know, submission, so... You know, that's just part of the game. You know, it's nothing personal, but Jewish Producer, I'm sorry if your feelings are hurt, but you got to get thicker skin because, you know, that's just the way it goes in the writing game.
That's it. And end of that.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. So send some better shit next time, man.
Yeah.
Send us something really fucked up. He likes fucked up things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jewish Producer, thank you for that great commentary there. We got 60 seconds left.
Jewish Producer, Jewish Producer, send us something at the meth lab.
Mm-hmm.
Send us something.
Want my stuff read. He wants his stuff read. He wants his stuff read. So. And Nipples is back. Welcome back, Nipples. This is awesome. All right.
Well, what an active chat room here. I've never seen it this active before, ever.
No,
I mean,
I haven't
either.
It's
kind of crazy.
I have never seen anything like that ever, actually. I don't think. That was pretty intense for a minute there. But, Actually, Brian, since you're on the line, before you get off, how about one more poem, bro? Or
Oh, sure. I'll pull something out of my hairy sphincter. Right. Let's see. Yeah. Here we go. This one is titled... This one is titled Handjob Hannah in the Summer of 92. Hannah had an orange belt in Taekwondo back when ninjas were all the rage and the Karate Kid was a sex symbol. But now that Ralph Macchio is passé and the ninja nation has spiraled into a recession, she functions as a disposable girlfriend in the parking lot of the food and fuel truck stop. $1.50 for a handjob, she whispers, demonstrating the strength of her kung fu grip on the necks of bleary-eyed truckers as they climb out of the rigs in search of coffee and cigarettes. End poem.
Ooh, fuck yeah.
I love
only
the poem
with...
What's that?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Only $1.50?
Cheapo.
Man,
you know,
I'll take her up on
that.
She needs
a snack, you know. So.
Yeah.
You know,
you got her number? Yeah, she's still doing that? You got her number?
Well, that was back in 1992. I don't know, man. That was 20 years ago? Yeah, 20 years ago.
Hey,
I'm sure...
If she's still giving if she's still giving handjobs now, she must be really experienced at it. So she probably gets a
either experienced or else she's expired because, you know, because of inflation and all that. And, you know, I guess guys probably wouldn't want her handjobs anymore after 20 years. I mean, who? She had
or
to be
arthritis,
about...
arthritis or carpal... carpal tunnel syndrome, too. Man. Like, yeah, from all the handjobs. Shit.
Yeah, I'm going to have that soon if I don't lay off the internet porn, but
I
digress. I digress. I digress. Whew. Yeah, what happened to the whole monogamy and literature thing here tonight?
You know what? I don't even know. I was just going to listen in. And...
Oh, I was ready to call into that sucker. I had all kinds of stuff to talk about, but I'm sure that's what... not what they wanted, but, you know, I've never heard of monogamy in literature as a subject, you know what I mean, or a study, so I don't know what they're actually aiming for there, but well, I had some fun stuff to talk about, but, oh, well.
Yeah. Well, I think she said that they're going to reschedule it, so I think you still would get your chance at that.
All right.
Pretty sure.
All right.
So,
I'll have
anyway.
To study up on my monogamy in literature then,
yeah.
I guess.
Maybe. I've got one... One more here. I'm going to read from the Anarchist Black Book before we close out the show, actually. And Nuwamba, you got another one too, right?
Frankie, is that book still available for sale, just out of curiosity? I mean,
it is.
Okay.
It is available.
Through Crisis Chronicles? Or?
You go to press.crisischronicles.com, I think. You can just type in Crisis Chronicles in Google, pull that up.
Okay.
And it is the Crisis Chronicles Press number 25, actually.
25?
And it's $7. So,
oh, that's a good price for a chap. I like that. All right. Reasonable.
And it's a really nice looking chap. I have
it
to give Matt
nice.
Props.
Yeah. It looks really good. The pictures I've seen of it, yeah.
Yeah. I got to give Matt props to Mr. Burroughs and Mr. Stephen Smith and Mother Dwarf Smith for all the collaboration that was put there. So, and, I did want to mention that, Jewish producer just found Zygote in my coffee, and he just found the meth lab, and he's going to send us flowers and a good article. What do you think?
Excellent. I look forward
send
to
us
it.
Some money. Yeah. Send us some money, too.
Money?
Send us some money and some drugs.
Drugs? I was going to say, like, I'll just take the drugs. You got drugs up there.
Yeah.
I say Jewish producer, he should just show us his tits. I mean, that's all.
Yeah,
that's,
there you go.
Yeah.
He's got all the bases covered there. Definitely.
Yeah.
This
tits,
one is,
drugs, and money.
Yeah, I mean, sit as drugs, sex, or money. We take all that. I'm good with just the drugs part. These guys can have the sex and the money. We try to keep it even here. You know what I'm saying? Try to keep it even. I'm going to go with Streets of the Pan-Americano Nightmare. This is number 5. This is actually the scenic route. It's been a while since the great moral dragon felt the pangs of a coiled wisdom, and while contemplating this atop a run-down high-rise on the east side of Forever, he is stricken by the appearance of a viper in the grass and laughs at the irony of the situation. Schoolboy Charm has taken a wrong turn down a dark alley where science waits clean-shaven and bleeding profusely, screaming, 11, 11, 11. A dark boy has wandered into the mix and catches the incident, an indecent act of young Charm reaving idle chromosomes behind a dumpster. Back at the bar, a mirror has been smashed. A fist is cut badly. A chagrin of complete contempt hovers over the room thicker than any cloud of cancer you can muster. Back at home, has returned the keys to the front desk. Delvecchio files the proper forms on her investigation. The culprit slash employee remains at large along the coastline on the far west shore. An adopted citizen pains for a distant son, confined in the jaws of systematic breakthrough. And down the track he goes, this citizen on the lam in El Jefe sleeps alone in the mule's tunnel tonight. The east side is quiet and dying. The border is breached by the pitter-patter of little feet. Negotiations between El Freaks y La Tools has all but broken down completely because all translators don't speak Spanglish. Ebonics becomes the new dead language. Gangs resort to tagging territory, and Aramaic Judeo-Christian sects commandeer the future plans for black bloc demonstrations. The beach bar finally closes. It's after 2 a.m., and tiny silver hands have suppressed my gag reflex. I feel vomitous. Gold rings become delusions for fat pinky fingers. The brain is absent from the equation. Someone has left the light on too long.
End poem.
That's it.
That's good. I like that. Some good words in there, too, like vomitous and... good old Ebonics, man. Wow. I remember when Ebonics was all the rage there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never been really the rage for me. I never really got a handle on Ebonics, to be honest with you. I do get it really bad. Like, I can get it really bad whenever I get mad. I'm mad because I'm bad, bro. And, you know. I don't know. Nuwamba, you still there, Bram? You still got Nuwamba?
Yeah, I'm still here, man.
Oh, word.
It's chipping off this shit. Yeah, well, I got one, man, and this is in Zygo in my coffee a long time ago, and it's a little, very touching and personal piece I wrote about somebody I know. And,
what issue is this from? Do you remember what number it was?
I don't remember. It was back in like 2009.
No,
I don't remember which one. It was a long time ago, and. But it was a very personal poem. It was very emotional, and I would like to read it. It's called "Punch You in the Face." I'm gonna read it right now. The next time I see you, I'm going to punch you in the face. Don't ask me why. I'm not really sure. It could be that thing you said to me a long time ago that I forgot. And you can't recall, but nonetheless, it pissed me off. Maybe it's because you like that song, My Humps, by the Black Eyed Peas. Maybe it's because you talk too much during movies. Or possibly it pertains to the peculiar sound you make when you eat. Perhaps it's the way you look in a hat. Perhaps it's the things you say to my cat. I'm glad she always hisses and scratches you. Whatever it is, I'm going to punch you in the face. And I'll record it and upload it to the internet too. So you and everyone will know and will see that you got punched in the face. Punched in the face by me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I love that poem.
Yeah, I do too. I remember that poem. Didn't you do like a video or something on YouTube or something of that video of that poem? Yeah. Okay. You're wearing like a ski mask or some crazy shit.
Yeah, in a dress.
Wrestling, like
in a dress,
yeah.
Yeah, it's on a dress and a ski mask. Yeah.
Fucking A.
Very personal. Very personal.
I see one here from you, shooting midgets from a catapult and watching our teacher tap dance nude.
Inside
my coffee.
That's a classic.
Yeah, that was also very personal. No, that was also a very personal, emotional piece.
Sounds like you have a lot of personal issues, man.
I do, yeah. Okay. If it wasn't for poetry, I don't know what I would do, man. Seriously, I'd be really bad. I'd be back in the
killer,
streets
maybe?
Of South Beach. No, no. I'd be like one of those people like who does crazy shit in public and eventually gets arrested for it. Like, I mean, I used to go out in the streets of South Beach. This is actually true. I used to go around with a fly swatter and just hit people with a fly swatter. And, like, a lot of times people would get really angry about that and chase me and punch me sometimes. But I don't really do that too much anymore. Because now I can write poetry and prose and stuff, and it just helps unleash those issues. So.
It's a heavier punch, too. It's a heavier punch and a heavier fly swatter.
Yeah, I agree.
Right on, man. It's been a good show. I appreciate the two of you guys coming and hanging out with me. Tonight, I did want to mention before we closed out that tomorrow night at 11 p.m. Mountain Time, which is 10 p.m. West, 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will be having special Friday RPM edition of Draconian Vampire Tunnel, so be sure to come back here tomorrow night and check that out. And I'm hoping, we're not going to have your mother's medicine cabinet. Is that going to be on this week?
I think, yeah, he doesn't leave until, like, the second or the third, so I think it will be one more episode on Monday, I believe.
So. All right, so we got one more of those, and I believe Project U Radio will be canceled for this week since we will all be in the Bay Area, or maybe not. We might actually be
broadcasting. Well, we'll do some live streaming. I'll have the webcam and the Ustream going for us all there.
Oh, shit.
The
Ustream. Oh, no.
Might catch you humping a Smurf or something again. I don't know.
No. No stuffed animals this time, but
no goats either. Don't let them get around.
Oh,
no goats,
you
right?
Motherfucker! I wasn't going to mention it.
Keep
so you would bring one.
Keep them away from the fucking goats, all right? Don't fucking bring up any goats, man. Don't do that shit.
Why you got to ruin my fun, Nuwamba? Come on, man. All right. Well, fine then. And then, of course, in the week after that, next week, we'll cancel the Draconian Vampire Tunnel as well, just because I don't want to have to think about it, to be honest with you, before I take off for Oakland. I'm already nervous as fuck. And
Nervous? Nervous about what,
man?
I'm
fucking nervous. I'm nervous as shit, man.
Really? You're Mr. Smooth.
No.
You've got to be nervous about it.
Not really. I'm trying to be humble.
It's
going to
be a blast. You know that it is, man.
Yeah, I know. You guys should definitely come out, check it out. Beast Crawl, Zyfez, week, not weekend, week, motherfuckers. I hope you speak the language.
It's going to be pretty monumental, I think, to be honest. Yeah. It really is. I mean, the whole week, I mean, wow.
Yeah. We're going to have to schedule one soon to where we can get Mr. Nuwamba Flamingo out there.
Maybe he can make it to New Mexico, Albuquerque here in November. Yeah.
No, I won't be back in America until January.
Oh,
I'm
going to
come back in January for a little bit. Yeah, so I'm not going to be out there for a while. I'm enjoying life in Asia. It's treating me well. So, you know, I probably won't come back to the States for a little while, until January at least, for a visit. So, yeah, I'm gonna track down Frankie Metro, and we're going to go out and raise some hell. But, one of these fucking days, man. I want to get, you know, these fucking conventions you guys are having. I just think it's really cool what you're doing with that, getting people together and reading stuff. And yeah, I hope to get to one sometime.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a new thing. We're going to try to do this every year, so definitely be plenty more opportunities coming up for that. Meth Lab Radio. Thank you, Mr. Nuwamba Flamingo, of course. Brian Fuget, any parting words, gentlemen?
No, it's been a great show. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It's been a lot of fun.
Okay.
Always cool chilling with you fellas. It's good talking to you, Brian, for the first time.
Yeah, nice to hear you, man.
Yeah, cool, man. Definitely good talking with you, and good talking with you as well, Mr. Frankie Metro. And yeah, man, it's fun. We'll have to do another one of these sometime soon.
Yep, definitely. In the meantime, everybody out there, please go to the Meth Lab, www.methlab1234.blogspot.com. Good night.